I've got a few verses here for you this morning. My name is Luke. Happy to see you. Full disclosure, I did pay a few people for amens and sympathy laughs, but I told them if I go like this, that means we're tapped out and I don't have any more. So, we're okay. But right now, we're okay. We're flush. Yes, ma'am. Venmo, Cash App. I'm going to read a few verses. I've actually got a few passages, old school. I'm going to read a whole chunk of the Bible, okay? It's going to take 2.5 minutes to read that part, and you're going to enjoy it. Then we got 4 points and a prayer. Sound like a deal? What do we think? Is that pretty good? They say, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them what you told them. That's the plan, okay? So, happy to see you. And let's get started. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's varieties of service, but the same Lord. There's varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. We're in the ESV, if that's helpful to you. Utterance of wisdom. Another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions, get this, each one individually as he wills. Keep going, verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, would that make it any less a part of the body? No. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, Mike Wazowski, where would be the sense of hearing? Thought about that for 20 years and never said it. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, hang with me, where would be the body? As it is, there's many parts, yet one body. We're 2/3 of the way through. We're still there? Yes. The Lord wrote this, so it's pretty important. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which are more presentable, greater modesty than our more presentable parts, that they don't require that. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that it lacked, that there may be no division. All the members have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us to see this morning. Help us to see ourselves in these scriptures. Help us to see ourselves in these examples. I'm speaking to the hearts of the people this morning, Lord, calling out the gold, calling out the embers, fanning them into flame that they become a fire. Lord, help the people to lean in. Help me to say this clearly. And bring it home in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can't say this wasn't scriptural because I gave you a solid dose at the beginning. The ratio of God's thoughts to Luke's thoughts. We're going to try to keep it really strong on God's thoughts. My 4 points, Stephen, ready? First, the kingdom of God is like a body. Now, that's right out of the Bible right there. Point number 2 is a little bit of a doozy, so we'll ease you in with this one. The kingdom of God's like a body. Okay, so we've heard this before. When we think about the kingdom of God being like a body, you know the example everybody always says, like, yeah, but I feel like the pinky toe in the body. This morning, I'm not really here to talk to you about pinky toes. I thought of a few horrible ones, Braden, to help you. I'm also not thinking about, like, back hair. That's part of the body, but I am kind of wondering why. Yeah. What is the purpose? And why did it spring up? Why did they spring up so quickly? I hit 30 and I'm like, whoa! And I feel the spirit of prophecy. Cody, you're next. That one was just for me, but I think it's going to happen. I've seen Buddy. All right, moving on. So I'm not talking about pinky toes or back hairs, okay? But in the body of Christ, are we with me? We're going to have fun today. We think about in the body of Christ, the body, right? We think about hands. We think about feet. The scripture even gives them. We think about eyes, ears, and the mouth. These are the normal parts, and these are the ones we see all the time. So I think about the different parts of the body, you know, in church, the kingdom of God and the church are the same. We think about the different roles that everybody plays, okay? Some of this is not rocket science. It's not the first time you've heard this, but it's helpful. I think it's really important that the Lord wants us to be aware of this right now as a church body and going into the next few seasons as a group, that this is a big priority for our group right now, is thinking about coming out of this last Vision Sunday. Everybody came up and shared, and man, there's so many important parts of the body. There's even new parts that we're coming up with, thinking, oh, let's do things that we haven't done before. It's helpful. So we think about the hands and the feet. We think about the people that share this platform and the microphone. We think about the youth in the booth, the boys in the booth. You're not up there. But we think about the boys in the booth, the youth in the booth. By the way, give me a little chest bump. Come on. Let me hear it. Thank you, guys. So we think about the different parts, the greeters, the parking lot. I saw Braden on a golf cart the other day. I was thinking, kind of scary, but that's why we pray. It was triple scary. But you did great. So, but it talks about in the scripture those King James says unseemly parts, or the parts that are not typically deserving of honor. It says in here, the ESV, the unpresentable parts. And we think, kind of a weird thing to say. We're not talking about private parts. We're talking about internal organs here, okay? We really are. We're talking about internal organs. So I thought, turn your attention instead from the eyes and the ears and the hands and the feet to think about the liver. I know you like to think about livers most of the time, but my wife just helps me so much. She's definitely on the payroll. That Amex card just like, whoa, what is happening? So use it freely. Help me, people. But we're thinking about the liver, and I thought about this, is if we had an altar call and I said, come up here, and I want to pray for everybody's hands, that their hands would be used by God to minister the love of God, the power of God, that when the people that we put our hands on, the people that we interact with would receive from the Spirit of God, I would answer that altar call. I would go up there because I want that. I think a lot of people do too. Well, but if we flipped it, it's kind of funny to think about. But if I said, let me do an altar call for livers, you know, let me pray for that you would be a liver in the body of Christ. You would be like, I think it would be just kind of me up here trying to not just be awkward, you know, it would be weird. So, but then I think about it and I go, okay, actually, you can live without a hand. Actually, you can live without one eye, you know, but try to go a day without a liver. And I just thought, anybody want to, text me at 5 p.m. after going one day without the liver. You'll probably be on the fetal position on the floor, curled up, trying to not cross your eyes and drooling, because that thing's important. It really matters. It really, amen. It matters. So write that one down. Your liver is important, people. Okay? But I think about that. Stuff's going on in the background. Stuff's going on in the background in the body of Christ and in our bodies that we think, man, that stuff's important even though we don't see it. That stuff's important, even though it's not necessarily taking place on the platform. That stuff is so important. And in the body of Christ, you don't want to say, I don't want to say, You shouldn't think to yourself, oh, well, I'm just one of the parts. You should think, my role really matters, whether I get seen or whether I'm totally unseen. Because some of those things that happen are so critically important, they just don't get stood up in rounds of applause too much. But man, that stuff matters. The background processes, sometimes they're not exciting. Sometimes they're not thrilling. Sometimes you don't go, hey, we need this important job done. Who wants to do it? And it's not like everybody's jumping up on their feet to do it. Okay? But I'll give you one last one. It's like the brain. Braden, this one's for you, the brain. If we had a brain right here, it would be really awkward. It would be weird. It's slimy. It's gross. But it's important. Once again, liver, important. Brain, important. I don't think you can live without one. But I saw a guy last week that I swear he wasn't using his. I swear. I think that's what was happening. I don't think his brain was engaged. And I was like, let's not be that way. You know, let's not be that way. I was thinking about sending some of this to John Chris later to see if he could make it work, if you know what I'm saying. Okay. If you know. So these gifts, so what God does, what's the point? What is the point? I even wrote that on here. What's the point? What's the point? You with me, John? Is in God's kingdom, we know from Scripture, each child of God is endued with gifts from the Creator. He puts gifts inside of his people. It's true. Those gifts are custom made. They're hand tailored for a specific purpose in God's kingdom and with that specific person in mind. It is my passionate desire to serve in this way, to identify unique giftings and God-given talents in each one of you and then line up the giftings and the talents that God's put in you with the assignments that he has for us as a body, and to match those up. Because when that happens, God's assignments get done. And Stephen said it a second ago. When we have a God assignment, hey, this is important for us to do as a church body, and the right people are in the right place, yielded to God, yielded to the Lord, then God's purposes get done. And that's a game changer. It's huge. It's so important. And there's tons and tons of things that don't get done when people are not in the right place. Or they get done, and it's not really how it should be. So it's so important that the things get done. And I thought about it like this myself. If I was in the booth right now, I'd be sweating. Things would be totally messed up. And let's just be honest. In worship, I get distracted very easily, and I would be like three slides behind, and no one would know what to say, because that I cannot do that. Maybe, but it's not my strength. It's not where I'm strong. It's not what I'm good at. It might be totally easy and great for y'all. God bless you. It's hard for me. That kind of stuff is tough for me. Admitting it. I don't know everything. I know that I don't know everything. It's recorded. Play it back to me, buddy. Okay, so we're members of one body, and he puts those gifts as he sees fit. It's not what Luke thinks is a good idea. It's not what Hunter thinks is a good idea. You know, it's how the Lord sees fit. He puts those people, and he puts the gifts in the people. He puts the people in positions in the body as he sees fit. And when we function in the role that God has designed, custom made for us with what he's put inside of us, that is when we fulfill our purpose. That is when you sit back and at the end of a hard day where you were fulfilling your purpose all day, that what God made you to do, you just spent all day doing it. You don't lay back and go, oh. You go, oh, I'm ready to do another. And it actually energizes you instead of exhausting you to do what God called you to do. Amen? So the kingdom of God is like a body. We should be grateful for the different parts of our body. Another scripture, how about Romans 12? A living sacrifice. This is another reading one, ready? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, Romans 12:1. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern, highlight, underline, what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than you ought to think. Think with sober judgment, each, underline, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. According to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ. We, though many, isn't that beautiful? We, though many, are one body in Christ. Individually members one of another, having gifts that differ. Gifts that differ according to the grace God has given us. So, underline, circle, highlight, let us use them. If prophecy, here's a few examples. So we think, what are the gifts? What are some of the gifts that matter? Okay? He says, let's use them in proportion to our faith. If serving, in our serving. If the gift is to serve, let's use that for serving. If the one who teaches, for the one who teaches, use that gift for teaching. For one who exhorts in his exhortation, to the one who contributes in his generosity, to the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, do that with cheerfulness. Amen. So he lists a few different ones: prophesying, serving, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, and acts of mercy. These are not the spiritual gifts. These are gifts. These are not gifts of the Spirit, but they're very spiritual. These are how to be some of, it's not an exhaustive list, but these are some of how to serve the Lord. Some simple stuff, but it's super important to bring it sometimes back burner. Let's bring it back to the front. We see ourselves in these, and I pray that you would see yourself in one of these roles, in one of these giftings, in one of these kind of lanes. Let's get in this lane and let's run in it. You know? I got a little bit of that gift of exhortation turned to me today. I got exhorted this morning, 4 times, I think, and it helped me. People helped me, encouraged me, keep me going, pray for me. Now, I didn't hear a bunch of people say they were praying for Hunter all week before he preached. Maybe I required a little bit of extra just in case type of, let's make sure this goes right type of situation. I hear you. I see. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I get it. So far, we haven't derailed it. So far. So a living sacrifice, okay? So we have these gifts. Then he says, use them like a living sacrifice. What's the challenge there? Larry's not here, but a dead sacrifice has no choice but to just stay on the altar. A living sacrifice can crawl off the altar. So we have to choose daily and even moment by moment to get back on that altar. When life happens, when challenges happen, when things we want that just don't line up, like that is a desire that's not from God. We have to put that down, and we have to use our will, our determination to get back on the altar. So we're a living sacrifice. And he doesn't say, slaughter the lamb and chuck it up there. That doesn't do anything anymore. He says, I want you to give your life, but I don't want your life to be over. I want you to use your life for kingdom purposes. And in laying your life down, that's where you find it. So you trade something that's hollow and not worth much for something of tremendous value. So we give him what we've got, and he gives us what he's got. And that's a good trade. That's a really good trade. But it takes work. So I want you to write this down. Our gifts. Some of y'all are only going to remember this from the whole service, and that's fine. That's great. Our gifts are tools, not trophies. Our gifts are tools, not trophies. And what that means is that you don't just say, oh, I have a gift. You like that one? I have a gift from God. It's awesome. And let's just polish it up. No, it's to be used. It's to be used. And the best tool set that you've got that money can buy in the garage, in the box, accomplishes nothing. But when we use the gifts that God's put in us, they're tools, not trophies. wow, look at what we can accomplish. And I don't know if you've ever tried to use the wrong tool for the job, and you're like, I'll just not buy that thing. I'll just do it with whatever I got on hand. It's just way harder when you're using some random thing rather than what you really need to get the job done. And I think about that in the body of Christ, that it's really important that we have the right giftings in the right roles. Just like I said, if I'm in the wrong role, it's hard. Maybe we can do it, but it's not God's highest and best. Okay, we're going to come back to that a few times, the idea of using our giftings in our highest and best. So sometimes in that scripture, excuse me, it says that we need to be transformed by renewing our mind. We need to be transformed by renewing our mind. So we have to let go of some things. We have to sometimes change. I would probably say we all have to change to serve the Lord. We can't just do what comes natural, because sometimes that gut instinct, it doesn't work. We have to all be trained and develop and grow. It doesn't always just come naturally. We take those gifts and steward them back to God, and he shows us how to use them. Sometimes we have to let the Father strip off some of the world's junk that's hanging on. Okay. We're finally arriving at point number two, rapidly progressing along. Number two, the kingdom of God. Don't stand up and leave, people. The kingdom of God is like a brisket. Oh, hello. Thank you. You might be asking, what is going on here? Well, I love to make brisket, and I think brisket is from God. Amen. Thank you. I knew there would be one. Okay. Don't worry, for vegetarians, I have another point three that you will like more. But I think brisket's a gift from God, and when you put the brisket, hang with me on this because you're going to like it. When you put it in God's presence, it transforms. Okay? What does that mean? Take that beautiful piece. I wrote this because it's poetic. Take that beautiful piece of meat. You put it outside under natural conditions. Has anybody done this before? If you put a big old hunk of meat not in the refrigerator, what happens? It becomes conformed to this world. What it starts to do is break down, become slimy, become gross. Any piece of meat, right? If you just put it outside, the natural elements of this world just tend to break things down. It's called entropy. I was hoping Buddy would like give me an air five when I said entropy, but once again, catch me next time. But stuff just breaks down, turns to goo, turns to slime. Eventually, it would just be a flat puddle. Okay, it would be conformed to this world. Okay, but instead, I said goo, it would turn into goo. But no, I don't want that. Instead, we take that brisket, we put the right seasoning, the right environment under the care of a master craftsman. I'm telling you, it's pretty good, okay? And I will make it for you for free. They said, taste and see that the Lord is good. So you cultivate that specific set of conditions, and then you know what happens. The meat becomes tender, flavorful, textured in a way with bark and bite. You need both of those. You don't want some gooey, slimy thing. You need to have some bark and bite, smoke ring, etc. What about the fat? The fat renders. Some of it melts away and gives way. Some of it transforms, becomes flavorful, provides moisture. The combination of fat and meat produces juice. It's a technical term, John. The meat juice. It's very important. You don't have no juice, you failed. So in the presence of the right type of heat and smoke and salt and steam, that hunk of flesh transforms into something completely new. And that's what we get to do as a living sacrifice. We put ourselves in the presence of God on his altar and let him do his thing. Did anyone else do that this morning an hour ago? We were doing that. We were in the presence of God saying, Lord, work on me. Do what you got to do to me, Lord. I'm going to say the words that you've given me to say. I'm going to praise you and worship you and thank you and acknowledge how good you are and how big you are in my life. And in that, God starts to work on you. God starts to work on me. And things happen. Things strip off. Things melt away. Things change that were there before that we don't need those to be there. But in God's presence, he has a way of making things right. And he can see the final product before it even really starts, okay? So I want you to think about this, and this is how I wrote it here. I would like you to step out of your front door in the morning believing God made you for a purpose. unique and specific, that he built you with ingredients and characteristics and tendencies and talents and abilities that came directly from his throne room. Amen. So these gifts don't come from us, but one of the most incredible mysteries of God is that for some reason, he gets joy and glory from putting some of him in his people. Why? Why? I don't really know, but this is what he's into. He puts some of him into people, and then he gets to watch us to do the things that he wants for us so badly, but he doesn't make us do it. He doesn't do it for us. He does it in us. He does it through us, and he does it with us. Isn't that amazing? When we do that, when we get injected with his stuff, and then we do the things he wants us to do, God gets glorified in that. So he sits back and says, that's exactly what I wanted you to do. And you can actually feel that. When you do that, you know it. It's pretty tough to accidentally do the will of God and not know it. I don't really feel like that happens most of the time. Most of the time, he helps you to be aware of that. Amen? We got through the brisket part. Ready? So, high-class people, vegetarian people. Point three, the kingdom of God is like a work of art. See? That's nice. That's good. Same idea. So if you liked brisket, just tune out for a minute. If you didn't like brisket, this part's for you. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, real short. For this reason, I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God. This gift of God is in you through the laying on of my hands. For, I love how these two are tied together. God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control or sound mind. Amen. So fan this gift into flame. What God's saying is he's put it in there in seed form, and it's our job to cultivate the gift that he put in there. Okay, so he put it in there as a spark, as an ember, and then he actually enjoys watching us cultivate the gift that he's put in us. And for some reason, it brings the Lord joy and glory, like I said before, to watch that process unfold. You know? He didn't just snap his fingers and populate the earth. He wanted to watch his people develop. He didn't just, you know, babies don't pop out just knowing everything. The way God designed this is that he enjoys watching us grow and develop. And so it requires effort. It won't happen automatically. There's a big difference here between to do what God calls us to do, big difference between striving hard and being defeated versus working with God hand in hand, and then you secure that victory. That's why it energizes you to do the will of God. It doesn't deplete you. You don't come out with less. You come out with more because you win. In God, you win. And it's huge, and that changes everything. You know, you can work super hard and win at the end and say, let's double up. So the kingdom of God is like a work of art. When I think of that, I'm reminded of David. So David went to face Goliath. We've all heard this story. He went to face Goliath. The voice of this world said to put on Saul's armor. But the voice of the Spirit said, no, I've made you different than that. I've made you another way. I have a special way for you to do this. A specific way you're going to gain victory for the kingdom and vanquish this foe that has defied the armies of God. The Spirit of God had a special way for David to do that, and I believe that the Spirit of God has specific and special and unique ways for you to serve, just like he had a special and specific and unique way for David to serve. Amen. Amen. So what he did was he fanned that gift of God into a flame. Now, here's a fun story. He's actually been immortalized throughout history as a hero for that. I'm glad he did. Life, the weird stuff would have happened. It would have been crazy if he hadn't won that. You know, we had no idea. So there's this cool thing. So there's that statue of David. You've heard of this, that big mark. Has anybody seen that? You have? I haven't seen it. You seen it? The big statue of David. It's all good. So we saw the Amazon show of David. That's what it was. It's actually pretty good. You seen that? So, and it's looked a few things up. It's 5 meters tall. It's like 16 feet. I thought, that's kind of funny because I think that's about how tall Goliath was. So Michelangelo made a statue of David as tall as Goliath was, about. That's pretty cool. So you look at that and go, oh my God, that's huge. And you're like, ah, that's how big Goliath was. It's crazy, right? So, well, I think we all just thought a new thought just now. I felt it happen. That was a new wrinkle in our brains together. Whoa. So get this about Michelangelo. Does anybody, like a nerd student about Michelangelo? I learned about him a few times. You know what he said about this when he was carving these statues out of a block of marble? So he had a huge block of marble. It was 10 tons, and he carved it down to, I think David's now only like 8 tons, so he carved off all that extra stone. What he said, you know what I'm about to say? I always wonder if people know this stuff, or it's just random accumulated knowledge I have. Michelangelo said when he was carving David, he looked at that stone block of marble, and he could see David within. And he said, all I did was knock off everything that wasn't David. Wow. Whoa! He said he actually did all his statues like that. All his sculptures out of stone, he did that with a chisel and a hammer, like a little metal spike. Okay? So he said, I could see the statue within, and my job was to free the statue from its stone prison. Wow. So you can look it up. He also made some statues that he never finished, and you can see that happening. It's really amazing. Okay? So when the master sees his project, he sees what it's going to look like when it's a masterpiece. He doesn't just say, well, I got a block of stone. Let's see what happens. Start whacking away. No, he says, I know what's in there. I know what you're capable of. Even better, I am the one that put that there to begin with. So you look at your kids, and I'm like, buddy, Liam, I know we learned that. I know you can get through that. I know what's in you. Let's work on it. Let's fan that into flame, because we've been through this already. I've put that in you, and it's in me, so I know it's in you. And so that stuff passes from the father to his children. Isn't that amazing? So we think about that. We're David. We're the masterpiece at work, and I saw, it's like this. You think to yourself, like, well, one day I might be somebody. No, you're somebody right now. You're already somebody. He already sees you as that masterpiece. You just got a bunch of stonage around you, right? There's just some blocks that need to get knocked off. If you're not all the way there yet, and I kind of say it like this, who is? Anybody there yet? We may not have arrived, but I believe we have left. We're on our way. We're on our way, right? And so God sees us as that masterpiece in process, in progress, and he's helping to knock the things off, knock the habits away that don't need to be there, to pull away the distractions and the craziness and the stresses and the anxieties and the other voices that don't matter. Knock those off. Let the Spirit of God knock those things off so that the masterpiece that you already are can emerge. In 2 Peter 1, just one piece of this verse, it says that through the precious promises, I bet John's already got this highlighted, through the precious promises, he has made us to be partakers of his divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature? Whoa. That's the will of God, is that we in this room would become partakers of the divine nature. He wants us to eat from his table. Okay, so I believe that when David threw that stone, I believe David's arm and that stone itself got supercharged with God's divine nature. That stone was guided by God's Spirit. It was slung by a, boys in the booth, young man, surrendered to the Lord, and it was charged with God's power. When that was all situated like that, I believe that stone had a 100% chance of defeating Goliath. I don't think there was any chance it would not have done that. I don't think there was a single chance that that stone would not have ended his life. Amen? Point four. The kingdom of God is like a restaurant. Where are we going with this? No one knows. Let's just sit there for a minute. I'm the only one that knows what's about to happen next. We're doing good on time, too. 1 Peter 4:10. I think it's the will of God to eat good food. You know? And restaurants help with that because I don't know how to cook everything. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Look at this. All the verses, the Bible says the same stuff over and over again. Isn't it great? That way you know what it's trying to tell you. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As, underline, good stewards of God's varied grace. We have to be a good steward of the grace he's given us. Those are grace gifts. Gifts that come from him that are not earned, that you're born into it. You're born again into it. Whoever speaks, verse 11, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that everything, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To me, that sounds exactly like the last verse. Each person has received a gift, so use it with the strength that God provides. So when David slung that stone, sure, he slung it hard. But that thing went stronger and faster and harder because God was in it. And I believe that whatever you set your hand to can go stronger and faster and further because God's in it. And if he's not in it, do you even want to do it? I don't want to do stuff that God's not in. I don't want to sprint down the wrong, 2 miles down the wrong road. I want to run hard after what God has put in front of us, and I want us to get the prize. I want us to chop off the enemy's head and hold it up as a trophy for all to see, and then want to find another one. They said, David, ready for this? They said, didn't he pick up 5 stones? Why? Because the legend said Goliath had 4 other brothers. That he said, hey, if those other buddies come, I'm ready. You can't mess with me because I'm ready. And guess they never came. They never showed up. Isn't that crazy? So the kingdom of God is like a restaurant. I want to see everyone in this church functioning in their highest and best. You need to write that down. Highest and best. Okay? So here's how I see our church. If you say this was a restaurant, we all had different jobs and roles in the restaurant. Anybody work in a restaurant? Anybody give me a discount in the restaurant that you work on? I'd believe in that. And I'm not above bartering. What are the different roles in a restaurant? Host, server, chef. Ready for this one? Sommelier. But we don't drink alcohol, so we don't know what that is. I just think that's a fun word. Look it up. You know, remember how there's unimportant parts? I thought, in a restaurant, what if, you know, we didn't say person that puts out tables, but if you went to a really nice restaurant and they just handed you a plate and a napkin and a fork and a knife, and just so like, here you go, there's no table, that would be awkward. Then you have like 3-course meal, one for each knee and one to hold. These things that are in the background that no one thinks about, they're critically important. They're super important. You know, I'm glad someone washed those dishes because I've thought about it before. Usually that's like some kid. Did he really wipe that glass clean before you put your mouth on it that somebody else did? Have you seen what people do with their spoon when they got like dessert, tiramisu or whatever? I really hope they wash them. I hope that guy is back there, and he should probably get a raise. Because what if he was mad and didn't want to do his job very well? You would never know. You would lick a used spoon and never know. Just saying, think about it. Maybe bring your own. I think about, what if you visit a restaurant? Playing a story out here. What if we visit a restaurant, and then you had a great, fantastic experience, ate good food, and then came back a few years later, and you saw that chef out there at the host stand greeting people, and he was the chef. The one, you know, we went to a Michelin 1-star restaurant. Very good. Very expensive. So, small portions. Why? Why? So rude. So what if you saw that super nice chef out in the front at the host stand taking people to their chair, and you would be like, Well, who's in the kitchen? You know, this guy's a fantastic chef and he's bringing people to their chairs. Not that he can't do that. But when he's spent a lifetime training and he's a master at his craft, should he be the one doing that? Probably not his highest and best use, right? If he has a skill, in the same way, I hope Michelangelo wasn't the one sweeping his own shop constantly, because we're glad he made a lot of those works of art. You know, he needed to be on the chisel in the art. And I think in the same way, who would be the host otherwise? You know, 19-year-old, respectful, kind. But I think to myself, do you remember what you did when you were 19 when you wanted food? I would like, you know, think back, like, can of green beans, ramen noodles, microwave, boom, there's a meal. If your dad was here, shazam. Like, what? That's not a meal. It's not going to work, right? You think about the, so if, what if that 19-year-old host was back in the kitchen, slam jamming some noodles and beans? Wow, Michelin star, revoked. We would look at those and we would say, hey, the assignment and the gifting don't match. And so I think in the body of Christ, we need to challenge ourselves. Okay, hear me how I say this. We need to challenge ourselves to say, what are we capable of? And am I using what God has put in me to my fullest extent? Am I serving in the house of God? Am I serving in the kingdom of God at my highest and best capacity? Or am I just kind of here? I think we've all done it before. I've definitely done it. We're just here. And then people look at you and they're like, are you okay? Please don't ever ask me that, by the way. If I look tired, don't tell me. I don't need to know because I already know. No one ever needed to hear, you look tired. That's just, you should probably write that down. Bonus point five, we didn't write it in the notes. No one ever needed to hear, you look tired. Amen. That was a free one. I actually like that. I didn't think about that. So what we do instead is we get the host in the host stand, we get the chef in the kitchen. And what happens is the people get seated with respect, hospitality, while the chef creates delectable entrees, mouth-watering appetizers. Both are serving at their highest and best roles and positions. Amen? So I challenge you to do that. I like the word kingdom of God more than just church. Church is good, it's important, but sometimes I think we think church is this building. Sometimes we think there's that church and this church and that church. When you think kingdom of God blurs all those lines and we're actually all on the same team. And it doesn't matter if it's Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday. Actually, the kingdom of God is all-encompassing and we are on the same team as the rest of the people in other churches right now. And that's so important to remember. And we're part of the kingdom of God. Look at that. We're closing. We're bringing it home. You want to jump off on those keys? Tickle the ivory keys? My passion is to identify. Ooh, some of y'all might like this part. My passion is to identify the chef who was occupied cleaning the floor. I want to help him create masterpieces back in the kitchen. You know, because the kingdom of God is like a restaurant. I am looking for Michelangelo. I'm looking for a master sculptor who can help me lead. I'm looking for somebody who can see David in that block of stone and say, you know what? I'm going to take it upon myself to help pull him out. Because the kingdom of God is like a work of art. I'm looking for someone who would be a living sacrifice. I'm looking for somebody who will say, you know what? I will be that piece of flesh who will lay myself on the altar and willingly be transformed by the presence of God. One more funny thing. That brisket takes 12 hours. 12-pound brisket takes 12 hours. I weigh more than 12 pounds, as do we all. And what that means is that it doesn't happen in just a few minutes. It takes time. You know, I'm weighing in at I'm a 172 right now. I need to get back in fighting shape. But that means if I'm on brisket math, I need to spend days in the presence of God to be transformed. It does not happen overnight. The best things take time. Because the kingdom of God is like a brisket. We need to stay in the fire long enough to transform to a completely new creation after melting off the stuff that this world brings. Amen? The last one, I'm looking for somebody that feels like a pinky toe. Someone who is willing to perform a supernatural organ transplant, to work behind the scenes as a vital organ, pumping and churning in the background. Unseen, but fulfilling a life-giving role to the body. I'm looking for one. Anybody with me on this? That's part of being the body. We have to have this passion and determination about this. And in this plan, this part's going to be hard for me to say, but it's so true, is in this plan, we find and create a symphony, a harmony, different melodies that resound together and resonate. I thought about it like this. What we do as a church body needs to resonate throughout Liberty Hill, throughout this building first, throughout our own families, throughout our own lives, throughout the people that are in this room together. And then it needs to touch Liberty Hill. And then we need to crank it up a notch. And it needs to touch greater Central Texas. What we do as a body needs to reverberate and resound and resonate throughout the regions near and beyond. Because that's what he's called us to do. And those who have gone before us, some people have given their lives. Some people have given their fortunes. Some people have made sacrifices of time and effort to not pursue other things. And it's our turn. It's our turn. When we band together and put each person in their God-given role with the gift that he's put in us, the abilities he's injected into us. He has brilliant ideas for you that he's downloaded into you, that he wants to see those go from an ember to a flame and to come out. God has a purpose. Isn't that amazing? He has a purpose for these things in our lives, and there's no telling what the impact that we can make for his glory. Guys, and this part's real, until Jesus Christ comes again. That one day he'll come again and we stand before him and we give an account and we get to say, God, here's what I did with my life. And if I could give you this one charge, and then I'll pray, is that we need to spend our lives in the passionate pursuit of the King's purposes with intense determination to see the gospel flood the hearts of many, many people. We need the gospel to flood their hearts with light that drives out darkness. So that when we take our final breath and we leave this earth, we wake up in the presence of our King. And when that happens, you want to look to your left and say, oh, you made it. And you want to look around and you want to see people there because of conversations you had with them. And you say, oh, you're here too. And you want heaven to be crowded. And that doesn't happen by accident. And that doesn't happen by luck. That happens because a body of believers band together and bring our gifts to the altar and say, God, here's what I see in myself that you put there. You put it there, and I want to use it. You put that gift in me. You put that tool in me. Here you go. Show me how to use it now. I'll give it back to you. I won't hoard it. I won't hide it. I won't let it get rusty or gather dust. Use it, Jesus. And bring those gifts that are on the inside. And you probably have an idea of what they are already. It's probably burning in your heart because the things that God puts in us, he lets you know what they are. He doesn't want to hide his gifts from you. He doesn't want to hide his will from you. Our Father wants us to know his will more than we even want to know his will. And if you go to him sincerely in faith, asking, and I think this is what the scripture means when he says, if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you. Because whose kid would come to them and say, Dad, I really need to know what to do? Would you just say no? No, I really need some advice. You know, I need you to tell me what to do next, Dad. You would say yes, wouldn't you? To all those young men, you would tell them. And God is so much better than that.